Okay, so for those of you who just got here, I'm going to do like a little aftermath rising sign forecasts of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And kind of relating to the Emperor. I don't know, there's just such like a claiming of one's, like I said, accomplishments, but it's not necessarily the capitalistic accomplishment vibe. It's more of like a, if anybody has a better word for accomplishment, comment it below. Something that has more like spiritual, has more of a spiritual connotation. But anyways, I've been reading this book. It's called No Bad Parts by Richard Schwartz. You guys know I love a good little IFS, internal family systems therapy. And this is his kind of book that's more accessible. There's also a different book that's literally about like this, the paradigm of IFS, but I would say this is more accessible to everyone. And actually, Alanis Morissette does the foreword for this book, so that's kind of cute. But I just want to read this paragraph. It really stuck out to me. So, Richard Schwartz, he's talking about how we kind of lose the simple pleasures of life that we enjoy the more and more we strive for this like materialistic sense of accomplishment, if that makes sense. And he says, those clients and the rest of us didn't come to be dominated by striving, materialistic, and competitive parts by accident. Those are the same parts that dominate most of the countries on our planet, and particularly my country, the U.S. When my clients are in the grip of those particular parts, they have little regard for the damage they're doing to their health and relationships. Similarly, countries obsessed with unlimited growth have little regard for their impact on the majority of people or the health of the climate and the earth. Such mindless striving of people or of countries usually leads to a crash of some sort. And he wrote this amid the like first bit of the Panini in 2020. But I think that sentence, such mindless striving of people or of countries usually leads to a crash of some sort, particularly applies to this moment, both collectively and perhaps individually, because in order for us to feel through that expansion of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction we've been feeling into, right, there might have been some sort of crashing, some sort of realization. But really, I think this moment is kind of about, though, let's say, okay, so Dom, you said growth. Emma, you said realization. It's about the realizations that we're having. Hang on. I need to... I'm Googling accomplishment synonym. Success, achievement, triumph, attainment, victory, acquirement? Yeah, there's like some kind of wisdom we've acquired that goes beyond some of these surface level strivings that Richard Schwartz speaks of. And Cher, I'm so sorry. You said I got into a fender bender, so I feel the crashing. Gosh, that Mercury stationing direct. it was a lot. But let's go through the rising signs. I'm just going to do this super quick spark notes, but just to get a sense of what is being attained spiritually from a wisdom perspective in your chart where the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction has taken place. For the Libra risings, it's the eighth house of shared resources and other people's money. And certainly some Libra risings may experience their partner growing, maybe even financially. Maybe some Libra risings recently had a partner get a new job. But then if we take it to that spiritual attainment realm, I think Libra risings having the conjunction in the eighth house, there's something like that deep sense of forgiveness and karmic resolution that can happen in the eighth house where something is healed between two people, or you and another person, or you and a group, where your relationship can either evolve or be let go. And that is where forgiveness leads us. So I think there's some deeper sense of forgiveness, I think, going on for the Libra risings in the eighth house. Scorpio risings, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happened in your seventh house of relationships. So again, here's another signification of people who might have experienced the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction as their partner doing something expansive. But on a spiritual attainment level, the Scorpio risings may have come to more wisdom or are coming towards more wisdom when it comes to how they want to set up their relationships, what patterns they're maybe shedding when it comes to different people that they're choosing or different relationship structures that don't work for them. There's something expansive and spiritually enlightening in the seventh house that's going on, and it's being mirrored to you from another person, Scorpio rising. Sagittarius rising, you had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sixth house, which is kind of the place of not only our day-to-day and our schedule, but I kind of feel like it rules over the parts of our day, sometimes like work or our boss or the annoyances of having to work with coworkers. You know, it can expand. It expands across the horizon with what we might be dealing with on a day-to-day and like what frustrates us on a day-to-day. That sometimes is the sixth house. And the sense that we just had a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction for the Sag risings in the sixth house of work, there might be some knowledge that's been attained as to how to rise above some of the everyday frustrations. Some Sag risings might even be looking for a new job or receiving that job offering. But it's not only about that. It's also about being in the present moment of maybe daily irritations and annoyances and being able to see beyond them and not have such a terse reaction to certain things. I think that might be the wisdom for the Sagittarius risings. Now, Capricorn risings, you had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the fifth house of pleasure, inner child healing, joy, fun, gambling. Some Capricorn risings may have won the lottery, but I'm being facetious, unless you really did. But, you know, on a more spiritual level, that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, what it's doing, it's bringing wisdom when it comes to how to, you know, work-life balance appropriately. Capricorn risings, out of everybody, I think, can do a little work hard, play hard kind of thing. And I think there's some kind of new knowledge that's come through about what it means to balance life and have fun and follow the inner child while also, you know, not going overboard, you know? And I think there's a difference between a sort of fun that we seek because we need, like, a stress reliever, we need a distraction. And then there's a type of fun that we seek because it's really coming from our inner child's need to play, you know? So I think there's a little bit of that going on with the Capricorn risings. Aquarius rising, you just have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the fourth house of home, family, and the ancestors. So I think there's new ancestral knowledge that's coming in for the Aquarius risings. Something that has made itself prominent when it comes to maybe an ancestral wound or even an ancestral story that has been carried through generation to generation. And a lot of the times we don't even realize we're telling a story of our ancestors. So, like, we could be, like, freaking out over, let's say, money or something. And in reality, we have a completely stable bank account. But as we freak out about money, we're actually telling our ancestors' story and not our story. Right. So for the Aquarius risings, there's some enlightenment, I think, coming through about how we've been telling not our story, but our ancestors' story, and how to come to better terms with our own story. Right. And for some of us, though, sometimes our ancestors have really good stories they tell, too, energetically. So it might also be telling that story if it's positive. Okay, Pisces rising, we've got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the third house. And the third house can have to do with siblings, but it can also be about writing and communication and just the way we narrate our lives. That's why so many famous songwriters and authors have big third house placements. It's a place where language is the vehicle for connection. It's so funny. Wait, is Dom, you're still here today? I hope you don't mind me saying this. In a reading, Dom told me that they love languages and they have this beautiful third house, and that they even, like, made up this secret language when they were little or something. And I was like, oh, that is just, like, the most beautiful third house thing. Like, the secret languages that we make up. And we could have a love for literal languages, but at the same time, we have these secret languages with the plants and our animals. And, you know, for extra creative, we can think of, like, a whole new lettering system, or I don't even know, but here's where I'm going with this. With Jupiter Uranus in the third house, there's a connection to the language of, I guess, how you are narrating. I feel like I said that, said that weird, but, how you are narrating your life. So even if there are some challenges, especially with the Pisces risings, having Saturn moving through the first house, language is kind of like the relief right now, and the narratives that you have are really important. And even what you're writing, what you're singing, what you're podcasting, what you're blogging about is really important, I think. Okay. Dom, you said, yep, language is the best way to see the world through new eyes. Yes, and thank you for letting me use your beautiful third house as my inspiration. I'm glad that resonated, Katie and Jeanette. So Aries rising, you guys got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the second house, which, sure, could be about resources, but, you know, I know an Aries rising who has been connecting so much with their physical body and the strength of their physical body lately in, like, a really positive way, in the sense that they've realized that maybe this transit isn't fully about money, but it's also about the, like, OG resource that we were given, which is like our meat suit and how we use our meat suit to experience different things in life. So I think there's just some expansion in how we are seeing the resources available to us, especially Aries risings. And those resources could be kind of a surprise and could be viewing the resources that you have like your body, or you could even look at an old box that you have lying around your house and you like turn it into something beautiful. Like, you know, like your resources, it's like you have this vision where it's as though you put on glasses and you're able to see how a previously unused or underestimated resource is now becoming, has a use, and that is important to listen into. Taurus rising, you've got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the first house of the self. So, I mean, not have everybody. I mean, Taurus risings are really attaining some sense of personal knowledge and maybe even attaining some part of their individuality. I could see a lot of Taurus risings right now kind of like coming out of the closet. Yes, in a queer way, but even more so than that, like more of a metaphor for just being oneself more authentically, being more comfortable with being seen. There's some sort of, yeah, just like really beautiful self focus on the self that is divine and that is intuitively led. I think that is really that Jupiter-Uranus vibe in the first house. Now, Gemini risings, this is very interesting because the Gemini risings had this in the 12th house, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And the example I've been using for my classes is my good friend who's a Gemini rising. They went to an ayahuasca retreat, you know, which is a very Jupiter-Uranus 12th house transit, kind of. This feeling of, like, I'm expanding the realm of my unconscious. The things that I am, that are widening in my space are what's inside of my psyche, right? So I'm not saying all Gemini rising should go to an ayahuasca retreat, but what I am suggesting is what kind of knowledge have you attained about your unconscious world? What has come up for you when it comes to the things that have triggered you for years, and then you finally realize, like, oh my god, I'm triggered by that person because they have the same big three as my mom. Right? Or, like, whatever it is. I don't know. Like, there's just some come to Jesus moment. That's like, oh my god, this is why. This is why I've uncovered this from my unconscious. So Cancer risings, like I said in the beginning about my life, we've had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the 11th house of groups and networks. And there's been, it's hard to, I need to not be biased about my own life. But it's interesting because there's some attainment, spiritual knowledge, and we've attained some kind of energy, some kind of wisdom that has come through our groups, our networks, and our friendships. And as a Cancer rising, I will be biased right now, and I'll say, like, I have felt in the times where my my love life has gone wrong this year, I felt like, oh man, I have the best friends. Like, I just feel so thankful for my friends, my connections. On the flip side, though, some Cancer risings, including myself in some contexts, can be realizing that's not the type of friendship I value. And that's not the type of connection I value. And there's more wisdom in how to structure friendships and connections that are aligned with your values. And when we are mixing and mingling with people who are aligned with us, then opportunities tend to flow from those very people, right? Like, hey, I saw this and I did this and I thought of you, and oh, I'm going to set you up with this person. And, like, I think Cancer risings right now shouldn't underestimate the magic of their friendships and how their friendships can, and at least their connections even, can align them with the right things at the right time. Leo rising, Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, the 10th house, career, public persona, reputation, legacy. This is hard. This is hard, Leo risings, especially to remind yourself at this time that your achievements are beautiful and worthy to be celebrated, and also remembering that, like, you're worthy to be celebrated. You're worthy of celebrating even without these, like, big achievements. And I think there's something to be said about achieve, and then you're never satisfied, right? So there's something about really sitting in this sense of satisfaction with yourself and satisfaction with what you have put together in the past, what you have experienced in the past, and just letting that be celebrated. And knowing that even if you're having a really big moment with career, or there might be kind of this wake-up call of, like, but even if my career is getting big right now, I have to keep maintaining this idea that, like, I am not just my career achievements, you know? That's how I feel about the Leo risings. Virgo rising. Virgo risings. You're my favorite. I don't always reveal. You know, when I'm in the morning, when I'm more on my game, I wouldn't have said that. But we were getting witch church. We're getting witch church night mode. I'm revealing my secrets. I showed you my gnomes. I showed you my new mirror from Facebook Marketplace earlier. And I'll reveal. I like you, Virgo risings. I really do. The Virgo risings, you had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the ninth house of belief systems. This is powerful. I mean, this is big because I think our beliefs are really the seed of how far we can grow, if that makes sense. So, like, if you believe that you're incapable and your boss or someone at work says, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you do such a good job, here's a promotion. And if you deep down say, I'm incapable, I can't do this, you might not take it. Not because that's true, but because you're being led by a false belief, right? So there's this real, like, turning around, we're turning this car around, and, like, there's just these new beliefs that are much more positive. I think it's a really great time for the Virgo risings to make peace with the inner critic. And I just told that to a Pisces rising, too, which applies in a different way because Saturn's in your first house. But anyways, Virgo Pisces tend to be connected because they're opposites. But back to Virgo rising, you know, Jupiter and Uranus in the ninth house, it's like I have to believe in myself and I have to believe that it's time to ascend. And, you know, Jupiter's heading into your 10th house of career once it moves into Gemini. So it makes sense. Like, if your beliefs about yourself ascend, then other things will line up. But other things can't line up unless those beliefs match, right? And that brings us back to Libra rising, which we did at the beginning. Sorry to Libra risings who showed up late. We already did you back then. You're going to have to wait to the recording. It's like 10 people log off to Zoom. So that's my tea for the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, that new knowledge that's coming, the spiritual, this spiritual evolution that has been going on, and also the divesting, we're divesting from these parts. What does it say? These parts that are obsessed with unlimited growth have little regard for their impact on the majority of people, of health of the climate and earth. Such mindful striving of people or countries usually leads to a crash of some sort. And though it didn't come by accident that we are dominated by those thoughts of striving, materialistic, and competitive parts. So think about that with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Are you getting caught up in, like, these materialistic, capitalistic parts? Or are you truly seeing your divinity, I think, in this moment? And how much you're expanding and how much you've learned coming to this point. Sorry if I keep looking that way. It's because my computer's here. But how do we feel, my friends? How do we feel? This week ahead, we've got some shifts. So on Tuesday, well, actually, Venus by tomorrow is going to be in Taurus. That's good. Venus likes to be in Taurus. And then by Tuesday, Mars gets the heck out of Pisces. Thank God, and gets into Aries. So by Tuesday, we actually have both Venus and Mars in their favorite signs. What does that mean in English? I think there's a little bit more of a moving forward energy coming in. But before we move forward, you know, before we're off to the races with Mercury's going direct. He's moving a little bit. He's not out of his shadow, but he's moving. Venus is in Taurus. Mars is in Aries. You know, I think connecting to that inner emperor energy is important. What is the inner emperor energy? It does have to do with what we just talked about with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and the sort of spiritual growth that we're recognizing in ourselves. But I think the emperor, I'm hearing every decision has intention. And if we are taking up our sacred space this week, or at least we're like feeling that energy again, we're feeling that pull to take up our sacred space. You know, there's something about bringing more intention to the decisions that we're making, even if it's like a decision to have a rest day. Yes, part of moving forward is resting. We can't move forward without resting. I'm hearing that, I'm actually hearing we tend to misunderstand sometimes this energy because it's so abrasive at sometimes. Like we tend to think, oh, this card's telling me to go, 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 go. Not necessarily. This card is advising stability and advising working from a stable foundation. And sometimes that means rest. And sometimes moving with intention is slower than we would think. That's why if every sign made a little wooden house or something like this, a little shack, every sign makes a little shack. You know whose shack would last the longest? It would be Taurus. But Taurus would finish last, but their shack would last the longest. Because Taurus is good at doing things with intention and knowing that good things can't be rushed. That kind of makes me mad. That kind of, you know, grinds my gears. You know, I've got Mars in Leo. I've got an Aries midheaven. That doesn't always sit well with me. But I think there's wisdom with how much Taurus is here with us right now. The sun's in Taurus. Uranus and Jupiter just had a conjunction in Taurus. We just talked about that. Now, Venus tomorrow, April 29th, is moving into Taurus. And everybody is now going to be answering to this Venus in Taurus. So it's not about speed right now. It's not about doing things fast. It's an intentional moving forward that does include rest. It includes self-nourishment. And it includes getting aligned with our sort of spiritual selves first and foremost. That's why I always feel like most of the time I'm pretty good about this, but there are some days when I do feel so busy and like I have a million emails to answer and I skip my morning like walking meditation when I do my like prayers and my mantras and like, you know, I just, you know, do some breathing and I see nature, you know, that's like my spiritual time. And if I skip that, it just doesn't go well. It doesn't. Like, I might get those emails done, but it's like you get those Sisyphean tasks done and then it just bites you in the butt because you then have more tasks to do. And then You thought you, your ego thought there was a finish line, but there's not. So you might as well have prioritized your spiritual moment, you know, your spiritual time with yourself. You might have as well have just taken the extra 30 minutes of rest because your body told you you needed it, right? Like, that's also being the emperor as well. There's a strategy and there's wisdom in timing with this week that we can take from both the emperor energy and the growing energy in Taurus. Okay. So I'm excited to see what this week has in store, shifting wise. And if you just got here, know that I did the rising sign forecast for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction aftermath in the beginning. So you can definitely listen to those on the playback. But I want to be of assistance to you. So if you would like a card specifically from the Wild Unknown Archetypes card, Archetypes deck, please comment below and let us know your question, your concern. If you need a prayer or good energy, please let us know. This group always has really good prayer energy. I'll post it. Sorry, Amy. It's the late night edition. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say something. I think Tuesdays, there's only 30 days in April, right? 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. Yep. Okay. So there's 30 days in April. April 30th, I think, is the last day to get a first-time full natal chart reading with me, and using my code SPRINGFLOWER will get you 20% off. So if you've never had a full natal chart reading with me, step on into my office, okay? Let's see. Okay, Emma, you need a poll. All right, let's see what archetype is coming. Ooh, this makes sense. Okay, so Emma, you actually got two. The forest and the village. This makes me feel like leaning on your community is really important at this moment. So, like, having those friend hangouts set up and scheduled, and, like, just having your community being a source of support, but also, like, semi-distraction is really good right now. And at the same time, your friends are in the forest as well. So, like, the plant friends, the animal friends, the mountain friends. Are you going to be taking a camping trip with your friends? There's something like that coming through. But I think tapping into both those energies is going to be really grounding for you in this moment of change and this energy that's slightly turbulent. Ashley, you would like a card. Let's see what archetype comes out for you. Ooh, spicy. You got the judge. So I think the judge makes important decisions and tends to use their decision-making skills as a source of regaining balance, right? Like, they give balance to the situation. So your decisions right now, it's almost like the question is, what decision would give the most balance to the situation itself? Done. Emmy, you said, can I get a card for this Taurus fifth house? Yeah. Let's do it. Ooh, agape. I love that, Emmy. So agape is one of the Greek words for unconditional spirit love. And I wonder if, like, self-love, I it's like sort of one of the higher forms of love. And I wonder if there's some new self-loving action that is being taken at this time. That could be something as simple as, like, a self-loving action being carving out an extra 30 minutes to read your book in the morning, or finally taking that dance class, or, like, whatever it may be. Also, it's not a witch church unless I tell someone to take a dance class. That's like my go-to. It's like my go-to example. There's some, maybe I need to take a dance class. Yeah. If I tell one more person to take a dance class, then I need to sign up for a dance class. But I think there's like this new vibe of self-love. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it just feels like it's coming through. And Amy, I'm sending you all the positive energy, and I'm in full agreement that this week you, are able to ask for the help that you need. And I'm also in full agreement that any support that you might need will find you, and that, yeah, and that just positive signs find you this week. And share. Let's see what's going on. Okay, share. You got the sustainer, the bridge, and the threshold. Oh my god, this really tells a story for me about, like, leaving what is unsustainable and there being a bridge that gets created, you know, into the threshold of something new. And I think specifically the sustainer speaks to me as you continue to channel and even write and journal about what feels sustainable to you. And it's a simple question that could lead to, it's a simple question that can lead to many realizations, right? So I'm actually seeing you journaling about sustainability. So I think that's your practice. Flora, you said I could really use a card. Yeah, let's see. Flora, you got the card Thanatos, which is a card that relates to actually, like, endings. And let me look this up. I always am self-conscious I'm going to mess these up. The Greek things. Okay. So, yeah, endings. I just wanted to make sure it was, like, death and I wasn't just saying that. So Thanatos was the personification of death in Greek mythology. So, like, we could think of Thanatos as, like, the Grim Reaper, or, like, the Dementors in Harry Potter, or in Lord of the Rings, there's, like, those dark horsemen things or whatever. But I think at the same time, this being your archetype right now, endings are good. Because endings lead to rebirth, right? And if there is something dying in your life that no longer has life force energy, you know, yeah, there's this message about what has the energy of life right now and what has the energy of death. And how to recognize and kind of recycle that energy, those things that have the energies of ending, and allowing the new life to come through. Eventually, it won't happen all at once, but I think you're kind of planting the seed for that right now. Freya? Ooh, you got the vessel. I like this like woman coming out of an egg. The vessel is a container that holds stuff, right? So we are a vessel, right? Our human body's a vessel. But also, like, our glass of water is a vessel. And, you know, spiritually, when we get intuitive messages, we're kind of like the vessel of spirit. And I think thinking of yourself as a sacred vessel could be a really good practice this week. And even doing some container magic. What do I mean by that? Like, even like filling a mason jar with like some crystals and like some herbs or whatever it is, and like letting that represent, like, I'm gonna fill myself with goodness and positivity this week. I think that would be a really good practice. Sam, you said I would love a card for the week. Yeah. You got the fault line. Yeah. I kind of like this because I feel like it's the fault line that helps us know where to go. You know, like, if, like, imagine actually walking up to like this huge fault or crack in the ground. It immediately kind of lets us know the boundaries of where we can go and where we can't because of the sheer force of gravity. So I'm getting, there's some boundaries that you might come up against, and also other people might be coming up against with your own boundaries, and both are okay, but there's just some acknowledgement of when we like come so far on a path and then we cannot go any further. What do we do? Well, we know now that there's a different direction, or we've reached the end of the path on this thing. Ellis, car, plumbing, life, friendship. A lot is falling apart. Dear wild unknown, what gives? Ay, ay, ay. All right, let's see, Ellis. Let's see here. What's going on? Ooh, the orphan. You know, the orphan reminds me of, you know, well, like, in a story, we see the orphan a lot in storytelling, like this soul who was abandoned by their parents, or their parents died or whatnot. I mean, we just finished our Women Who Run with the Wolves semester last week, and there's a lot of orphan characters in the stories of Women Who Run with the Wolves, and usually it leads to the character being initiated by a different parent figure and learning new skills, if that makes sense. And I think that sort of sentiment of learning new skills is the perspective that feels aligned right now. And I'm not trying to sort of diminish the pain that can come along with like car and plumbing issues and friendship stuff. But I also wonder what skills you are gaining from these types of initiations. Is it asking for help? Stating your needs more clearly? Is it learning that, you know, it, sort of this individualistic mindset of I have to do it all myself isn't working? You know, like there's actually some kind of information and a new skill set that is coming through from all of this. Katie, you said, I would love to get a card for this conjunction in my third house. Oh yeah, the thread. The thread makes me think, like, I know this as a fellow writer, like, you know how you have 20 different journals with, and you have like a notes app on your phone, and then you've got your actual document on your computer, and there's like all this mismatched stuff, like, but there is a common thread between all of those things. And maybe having a day where you get them all at least in one or two places instead of 10 places, and just kind of putting them in the same space, in the same document, and seeing what happens. But I'm getting like, there's almost this like sewing metaphor, thread archetype of starting to weave everything together. Okay. Jessica. Yeah, let's see here. Jessica, you got the mountain? I love this. I mean, we tend to like think of mountains as like, oh God, I have to climb this mountain, and like, oh, this is a big challenge and this big obstacle. But I actually love the wisdom that I get from this card. Like this sense of like the mountain is one of the more stable things in nature that we experience. And another thing that's on my mind from Women Who Run With the Wolves is there's the Crescent Moon Bear story. And, you know, CPE, she talks a lot about how climbing the mountain is an initiation in itself. There's a lot of initiations in that book, and how the mountain can teach us a lot about responding, how to respond to different people and things and parts of nature. And I think there's a beauty in like the stability that you have within yourself. And I think the mountain is here to let you know that, you know, you are as stable and unmoving as a mountain can be. And whatever weather changes may happen on the mountain, like, you still fundamentally are present and there. So that's what I got. So good. I'm glad you like that idea, Freya. Yeah, Amy, let's see. These are hitting home for me too. Would love a card if there is time. Totally. Amy, you got the crone. So this is such a good one. I love the crone. The crone is the wise one inside of us. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we're like 19 or 30 or 45 or 82. You know, we all have an inner crone, or that inner wise one who is the container of wisdom. And for some reason, I'm getting that, like, there's some wisdom to be gained maybe from it's almost like a past life story, Amy. Like, I wonder what kind of journeys you've been on in the past that have to do with loss and grief, and how there might be wisdom to be gained from those experiences in the past that could aid you in the present moment now. I also wonder, even though we all have the crone inside of us, who is the old wise woman for you? Like, is it your grandma? Is it a spirit guide? Is it like a neighbor who happens to be older? Who is an older person in your life? I guess I don't have to be older, but who's a person in your life that you can go to for wisdom and more like that spiritual support? I think that would be helpful in this moment. Okay. Well, my friends, thanks for Late Night Witch Church. It's been a pleasure. I'm spiraling. Just kidding. But I tend to shut down after 7 p.m. So this is perfect. This is right before I'm about to get overstimmied. You know, you know. All right, friends. Lots of love to you. Have a great week. Take notes. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about we'll talk about something. It'll come to me. Okay. Love you guys. Have a great week. All right. Bye.